This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com, and your host. Joining me to discuss a gargantuan game at the weekend, Mr. Phil Shaw, Mr. Chris Bird, welcome.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. I was intrigued by this game over the weekend, but at halftime I thought, this is probably only going to go one way, but pleasantly surprised. England beating Ireland. It was who would have thought?
Yeah.
Welcome to the new rugby podcast. We've ditched that football game. It was just too inconsistent in bringing us joy and happiness. It always pulled the rug from underneath our feet. So
not that the England rugby team don't.
Well, no, apparently they're good now, I think. So let's jump on that gravy train. That one game gravy train. What went wrong, Phil? I saw the halftime result. I just thought, I wanted to England watch it, and I didn't get around to watching it, so I didn't even see it.
England deserved the win, I'll give it that. But Ireland just couldn't control their emotions, getting a player sent off or sin-binned in the critical point. Yeah, story of the weekend.
Oof. Shout going out to all our Irish Villa fans. We feel your pain this weekend. We feel your pain. If you're an Irish villain who want to access UK TV packages, or if you're a Villa fan following Villa in Europe and you want to access various things back home, or even a villain in the UK who wants to access those Saturday 3 o'clock games by potentially subscribing to other countries' packages with NordVPN, you can change your online IP address to appear in different countries so you can actually access other packages while also protecting your online security. By changing your IP address with a NordVPN account, you can actually have 6 devices on that account, so you can potentially spread it across your family. And this month, NordVPN is offering My Old Man Said listeners a bumper exclusive package. You get 4 months free, plus huge savings, and you get a 30-day money-back guarantee to try it as well. So go to nordvpn.com/moms. MOMS to check it out. So coming up, we will get the hatchets out.
God.
And gut this Villa team like a fillet of fish.
Fish usually have like spines and things like that, so this would be easier. I don't know where you go.
Char-grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should have been charred grilled chicken, but unfortunately the chicken got off the spit and had other plans. Well, before we get into that business, let's entertain some Villa news. First thing is we're not getting in the Champions League this season. Moving on to the next segment, we're not going to win the Europa Conference League this season. Any other news?
We're going to need a new goalkeeper next season.
Yep, he's off as well. Oh, sorry, let's get into the Villa news proper, sorry. seriously speaking, injury updates. Torres, well, did he return? The ghost of Torres has returned. He played 45 minutes to get him in Ajax to get himself up for the Spurs game.
That went well.
McGinn allegedly had a knock. I don't know if he was being rested for this game. That went well. Ramsey wasn't even in the squad. We needed Ramsey today, I felt.
We did.
I think that probably helped the decision to play five at the back, which, well, that went well as well.
We'll get on to that. Jeez.
Ramsey doesn't look like he's coming back. It seems that he's in the Villa limbo where they don't specify a time. So I'm not expecting him to play against Ajax. I think he would have been great against Ajax. They're going to flood the midfield again. And I've got real concerns about that Ajax game, but I think Ramsey would have helped drive through their congested midfield, but alas not, I don't think that's going to happen. Speaking of the Ajax game, Akon's returned to the Villa shirt for the first time since Martin O'Neill.
09-10.
Yeah, 09-10. Their local rules say no to betting sponsors. You may remember against Alkmaar, we had the Villa Foundation on the shirts for that one. Villa will play Ajax in the second leg without Konza and Zaniola, who are both serving suspensions. Speaking of which, McGinn will miss the next three games. That's the big blow here. When you got West Ham, I think we needed him for that one. Wolves definitely needed him for that one as well.
City away.
City away, yeah. Probably would have needed him for that one as well. Phil, you can take over this one. I've got no interest in the Birmingham Senior Cup.
Well, the under-21s beat Leigh Town on penalties after a 3-3 draw, with Emery's son, Lander Emery, being the penalty hero. He saved two penalties. So he's starting in that next season.
Nepotism's the winner in this one.
Yep. He'll be replacing Martinez when Martinez goes off to a bigger club. The Villa women, it was always a tall order to beat Arsenal in the semi-final of the Conti Cup, and they got steamrolled like Villa did at Villa Park against Spurs, 4-0. Right, 3 points. Let's take ourselves away from the Villaverse to talk about other happenings in football. Point number one, this is a fun one. Basically, Leicester, if you dare get promoted, we're going to hit you with a hefty points deduction.
Fox hunting.
They have allegedly breached FFP, and the sanction has been delayed due to their relegation to the Championship. At a meeting of the 20 clubs, including newly promoted sides, they decided that breaches had to be concluded within the same season as the relevant accounts were submitted. So if they go up in two seasons' time, will I still get hit with it?
Well, that's where it gets complicated, because I believe they're also facing an EFL. Yeah, they're facing an EFL punishment anyway. So whether they go up, they'll get it in the Premier League, or if they stay in the Championship next season, they'll probably get the same thing there anyway, just with a slightly different version of the rules, because the permitted losses over 3 years.
Breached a permitted losses of 83 million over a three-year period.
Yeah, the EFL, and then they've had a similar thing in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's everybody's getting obsessed with business now. That's because that's all this game is now. The game is, it's like the excuse for the business, really. People behind the scenes making the money don't care who wins or loses, whatever. We're all the pawns in the game as supporters. Point number two. Season tickets. Certain clubs are starting to declare their increases, and supporters are kicking off about it, as they should. Spurs is going up 6%, Arsenal up 10%, and both Arsenal and Spurs are kicking up a fuss. But, you know, Villa's have gone up 15%. I mean, this is the baseline, 15% season before 10%. But the reality is people were, you know, suffering up to like 40, 50%. But passive fans, no backbone, no complaints. So take your medicine. Unless you get organised and do something about it, then you're just going to be hit with them year after year and get squeezed out.
Yep. I mean, the weird one with, I think it was Tottenham, is that the club were justifying some of their decisions by basically saying that the concessions for like over 65s had sort of skyrocketed, so they were going to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah. Oh, that's the main thing they're getting rid of, OAP concessions, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently since they moved from White Hart Lane, the number of senior concessions has gone up four times, and it's just not sustainable. So we're just going to like kick you all out, basically.
Yeah, that's the plan. There's no heart in this game anymore. Point number three. I love any points about South America are always perk my interest. They're always they always deliver. The South Americans, God bless them. Sheffield United striker Ben Baratan Diaz has been dropped by Chile because he hasn't learnt Spanish yet. Quite rightly so. Ricardo, is this the manager?
Yeah, correct.
The manager of Chile said he was called up for a Copa America 2 years ago. He has had enough time to learn Spanish. And he told him personally he would like him to speak Spanish because it obviously helps with communication with teammates, etc. Failed to do that, so adios.
I say fair game.
Yeah, do not have, you could get Duolingo, it's free. I mean, come on.
Yeah, meanwhile, in the women's game, Marta Cox has threatened not to play for Panama again after the president of Panama's Football Federation called her fat and out of shape. Manuel Ahares made the comment after Cox complained about the facilities in Panama following the team's group exit at the CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup. He said Marta Cox should stop to talk about our league. She's out of shape. She's fat. She couldn't move on the pitch. Tillemans. It's very easy to talk, but she doesn't know anything about the Panama League for years. She doesn't know what's going on there. Fat shaming. Tillemans. It's out of order, isn't it?
It is.
Right, is that it? Can we get into this now?
Oh, yeah, we can sharpen your knives now,
boys. Sharpen your hatchets. This was a game I was talking about. You know, a draw would be okay here. And I didn't get the feeling that we were going into this as a big crunch tie. Is it just me? Am I in a bubble or something? What was the fan base thinking? The only bit of media that seemed to suggest that this was a crunch match, I think it's because we had this 5-point gap, even though they had a game in hand. I mean, McGinn came out saying everybody knows how important this game is. It's probably in a league fixture, the most important game in the club's recent history. Now, was that sense echoing around?
A little bit.
I mean, obviously we were looking forward to this as it was a potential decider, but it's not as if there's like one or two games to go.
I know. It's not as if it's West Ham away on the last day of the season to stay up.
Yeah.
No, I think the view was that you've got a 5-point gap. Spurs have got a difficult game in hand, but if you got it up to 8 points, I think a lot of people viewed it that you'd put yourself into that position maybe where you shouldn't fuck it up from there. It's fucking sliding doors in it again, like that O'Neill one. They went to Moscow,
yeah,
tried to win at the weekend, made changes again, and this one was worse.
Because that Ajax game was terrible in terms of awful. Team.
It was the worst game of football I've watched all season. It was atrocious.
There was players in that team that the game passed them by, and you thought there was two things there that didn't happen. One was like Villa could have taken care of business and made life a bit easier for the second leg.
Mm-hmm.
But also that game, when Ajax saw the team sheet, they should have gone for it a bit more. I mean, they showed us too much respect. They could have done us in that game.
Very much what we did to Tottenham, really.
Yeah.
The thing is, Villa showed more application and played a stronger team away at Hibs in the qualifying round than they did in Ajax.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's something, it's a risk to keep doing this where you go to these European games or even a midweek cup game and you just drop the intensity so much. It's hard to get the intensity back all the time. So, I mean, because some of those Villa players looked like they were still on midweek intensity levels instead of weekend ones.
Yeah, it's almost like you just go strong against Ajax and go, right, let's win this. And then you win that. And then you go, right, let's beat Spurs. And it's like you've got that momentum. You've got that bite between your teeth. This kind of managing what you go, oh, yeah, if we can manage, we maybe can get a draw here. And then against Spurs, on paper, when you see the five at the back, A, it's sending a message to the players, we're going to try to contain Spurs and not really focus on what we're doing. And Spurs are going, oh, hello, we're going to see a bit of the ball here and be able to have a go at them. And it was more showing too much respect.
It was showing too much respect. I mean, especially since the combination of Konsa and Cash on the right was what they played in the first game against Spurs away, and Spurs ransacked Villa for the first 35 minutes until there was a change in formation. I mean, to try it again, and to be fair, it did work this time because Spurs were, like, even though they had a lot of the ball, they were a non-entity in the first half. But if you're going to make that gamble, you have to hope it pays off, because if it doesn't, it's just regret. It's just you're going to leave yourself going, what if we had just played our normal game that's got us to where we are?
Yeah, I thought the first 10, 15 minutes when Spurs had a lot of the ball and we were trying to play it at the back. And I don't know what Konsa was doing. I mean, he's had two real shaky games the last couple of games, the one against Ajax. But it wasn't crisp, but a lot of it was down to Spurs' pressing. I mean, we were talking about Sonner. He is exceptional at pressing. He does it at speed. He's omnipresent. He seems to be everywhere.
His fitness levels are off the chart.
Yeah, I mean, very impressive. But at that first 15 minutes, I thought, oh, we're going to be in trouble here. They just seemed to bully us. We were bouncing off them. I mean, that became very much a template for the game, and it got worse and worse. But then we played ourselves, I mean, I don't know if I'm skipping anything here, but we played ourselves into the game, and we seemed to have a decent foothold in, let's say, the second half of the first half.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you get past that Spurs press, which sometimes Villa did by just going long, I mean, it was the most direct I'd seen Martinez kick in weeks. If you can get past that, you're left basically against their two centre-backs. Now, the only problem with that is Spurs have two decent centre-backs that they do work well as a pair. Van de Ven is very fast and Romero is solid, but Watkins did get joy, and at least four occasions Watkins had a break, and this is where the Emery gamble comes out. If one of those were taken, would it have been different? Would the gamble have been justified in playing like that? Because there were four presentable opportunities.
Yeah, it was a strange first half because it probably went the way most pundits would have seen it, that the game got condensed into about a 25-yard section in the middle of the pitch with both teams playing really high lines and trying to pass through the eye of the needle. Villa realised it wasn't on, but we were very, very predictable. You know, the ball would come out to Cash. It would always go down the line. A lot of the time it would come straight back. Spurs had a lot of the ball, but Villa, you would say, managed the game well. But we basically approached it like an away game and hit on the break, which I don't necessarily think is the worst of ideas against Spurs, because with Bailey when in form, Watkins when in form, they are willing runners. I actually thought Bailey had of late he's been very good, but a rare kind of very, very frustrating day. He almost looked like he was either under the weather or carrying a knock or just fatigued. I don't know. Watkins was similar, because they both got into probably some pretty decent positions where you think in the final pass or shot or whatever, if that's better, Tottenham are in trouble.
There's a couple I thought they could have taken earlier.
Yeah, Spurs got into good positions and they punished us.
It was offside, but that...
Watkins was through, wasn't he, basically?
Watkins is through. There's a couple of times where he's clean through and you're waiting for him to pull the trigger. He hesitates, and then he suddenly turns around and passes it, and the whole tent was like, what the fuck?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And that kind of summed up Villa's approach sort of in the first half. And when you see the team sheet, you're looking at it going, that looks like a back five. And then you kind of, the more the game goes on, you're thinking, why the fuck are we doing this? Like, if anybody this season, I know the last few games have been a bit bumpy at Villa Park, but if anybody can say, this is what we do at Villa Park, and sort of puff their chest out a bit, knowing that you're going to have to play pretty fucking well to beat us at our own game, it's Villa. And you kind of think, wow, like, do you not trust your team that much that you feel the need to kind of not park the bus as such, but say, oh, we're going to play to the opposition's game. You're almost thinking, fuck that. You know, if you play your game and it goes wrong, so be it. But have some confidence in what you're doing. Don't just change your tactics. Bearing in mind, you know, they played on Thursday night. They'd have got back very late Thursday, I'm sure. They'd have done a recovery day on Friday, bit of tactical stuff, and a tactical session on Saturday. Now, I don't know what they're doing day in, day out at Bodymore Heath, but I'm guessing they've not been through the season working on playing with five at the back for a one-off game. It's like they surely aren't planning on playing five against Ajax. It's a bit of a fly in the white
flag.
This is
like the first midweek game. Well, you know, we played Chelsea. Well, I say we played Chelsea. We were there, not even in spirit, were we? We were there physically. But it's not as if it's like months and months of playing midweek games, like in the, you know, earlier on in the group stages, which we handled pretty well and, you know, got us to where we were in a position, by the way. We were always one game off and we never got it over the line to actually go top.
Yeah.
But in this situation, I mean, you said on Something for the Week, and when you look at the team sheets, you look at Spurs' midfield and you go, they're probably with, I think your exact words were, with Kamara out, they're... Man for man, they're better. So you would be thinking one approach would be not to take a midfielder out and put an extra defender in.
Yeah.
Maybe like set up like that if you're away from home, but as Chris said, it's you're not That's backing yourself, like. Are you? You're having no confidence in what you've done the whole season.
And it puts out a really bad message, I think. And they're not knowingly doing it, but it looks worse, obviously, when you lose. But you've had Sheffield United at home that was branded as a big opportunity. You had Newcastle that was the same. Man United was a huge one at the time. Luckily, the last few weeks have actually gone very well. Credit to Villa, they've actually done well and they've got themselves into a great position.
Against crap teams.
But actually, yeah, but you're beating the teams you're meant to beat.
Yeah.
But every time this season, Villa have actually had an opportunity to kind of, let's put it bluntly, bury a team. They've actually flunked it. And this was a pressure game. And it's, we talked about it a few weeks ago, and we've been mentioning it for a while, that since Arsenal, Man City and that Tottenham win at their place, Villa had a target on their back. And all of a sudden, everyone was looking at them going, oh, Villa are actually pretty good. We need to counter them. Teams are now countering them, and Villa don't have an answer at the moment.
Because you've got to remember, people will say, oh, yeah, but we beat Manchester City and Arsenal in the same week. And you go, yeah, we did. But, I mean, you can go in, yeah, they didn't have Rodri, they didn't have De Bruyne. We've played teams, when we played Spurs away from home,
they had nobody at the back.
They had no centre-backs, recognised centre-backs.
Yeah.
So we played teams at the right time. But at the same time, there wasn't that level of expectation against Manchester City or Arsenal. That, you know, the media at large thought, well, you know, yeah, it's so very cute of Villa to be up there in the top four places, but they're going to take a beating or two this week.
And then we didn't.
That wasn't us being the big dog playing and starting the game going, right, we need to beat these to put them away. That was like, well, let's see what happens kind of thing.
Yeah.
So zero expectations.
And then all of a sudden you've got teams in your rearview mirror, teams are gunning for you. And I think the players, from what you've heard, you know, Bailey was interviewed this week, McGinn's been interviewed. The players are talking about Champions League. I don't necessarily think Emery is, or he's trying to play a different, you know, narrative in public. But everybody knows it's on the, with 10 games to go, it can't not be on your radar. Yeah. And they are in the mix, deservedly so. But they would have viewed it as, wow, 5-point gap, home game against the team beneath us. What an opportunity. And in the pressure game, oh my word, when the pressure got put on them by Tottenham. I mean,
when I was saying, yeah, you know, draw would be a good result, that wasn't like, yeah, set up for a draw. That was just if the game ended up a draw, it would be a good result. It's not like, let's play for the draw.
Yeah, it's the view that it's two relatively even teams, and they have been for the most part this season. The likelihood is you'll kind of punch evenly and cancel yourselves out. And in the first half, they probably did. But Jesus Christ, as soon as the first goal went in, and it's another goal straight after half time, it was just...
Well, they bullied us.
Yeah.
I said this walking out of the ground, and I know I'll probably get a bit of bashing for saying this by listeners and people on Twitter, but for about half an hour, it reminded me of the dark days of when Villa got relegated. It was just, they imploded.
He's so reactionary, Chris Bird.
I mean, like, but I'm also, I'll give Villa like much,
oh, yeah,
much
no,
credit.
100%, I had the same feeling, exactly that.
Like
yeah.
The second goal, when it went in, you just thought,
spineless.
Oh my God, what on earth are they doing? Because this wasn't, Tottenham are clinical, and like, you see I don't want to get too far ahead, but you saw like the third goal, and that Son finish is fucking brilliant. But some of the other goals, especially that second one, you just...
It's a bit like that Liverpool massacre, remember, the 6-0, where they're just down tools almost.
I mean, we were all watching the highlights, weren't we, just before we hit record, and they cut to Emery when the second goes in, and he's sat there with his head in his hands going, what the fuck are you doing?
But
and
we were getting bullied in the middle. It's like we're bouncing off
and
them.
And murdered out wide.
You know, they were playing passes that would take three players out. I think that was the run-up to, was it the second or third?
Second goal, yeah.
Yeah, second goal.
And the first, to be fair.
Tielemans is, somebody described him to me, Jamie described him to me as, he reminds you of like, you know, Sunday league player where you've got an older player, he's got a little pot belly, he's still got the skills from his early days, so he can pick a pass every now and then, but he just can't run around as much, and he doesn't get stuck in as hard as he used to. It's like former glory boy, but he's and he does remind me of that. It's kind of a spot on analogy.
He's had some great moments for us, but I think you have to play him in a certain role or he doesn't. Yeah, you can't play him out wide on the left of the midfield.
Yeah, he should be in
attacked midfield. He's got to be as close to the striker.
And close to other midfielders as well,
which we saw against Arsenal and Man City in those games.
Yeah.
He was a little bit more advanced. And he, admittedly, you know, we've lost Kamari, haven't got Ramsey, blah, 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 but...
So it's like a free-ish midfield role just over the halfway line so he can link things up and get involved.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The second half actually started off, before the goals started, there was a bit of hope. Did it look good? Spurs' fastest defender, Van de Ven, pulled his hamstring, and you're thinking to yourself, stroke of luck here, Watkins could get a bit of joy, but no. Within a matter of moments, the first goal happened, and again, it's like Dean and Torres just out on that left-hand side. You saw the same Torres getting, for all his good things, Palace, I think it was, just ran past Torres in that position and just straight down the wing. I mean, you put the foul in, you do something, you pull them by the shirt, you take the yellow, you do anything in the opposition half. Yeah. I mean, when you get past there and straight in, they're just in. And then the same cross that caused chaos for McTominay to score the winner for United, just carbon copy. This time it's Madison in between Konsa and Cash, and he just, easy finish, just taps it away.
I mean, it's a very good ball, but it, if anybody is watching it, if you zoom back ever so slightly a few frames, you'll see Madison's running between Cash, but he's Cash's man because he can see what he's doing, and you think he's going to hand him off to Konsa here, but Konsa's looking at the front post thinking, I need to try and stop the ball coming in. I can't get the man over my shoulder. And in the end, Cash just lets him go slightly. And then obviously when Madison gets there, he's only got to make contact. It's going to go in.
He's literally right in the middle of both, isn't he?
Yeah, he just runs in a straight line. You know, it's a good cross, but it's another poor goal sort of defensively.
What were we saying last week?
At Villa Park this year.
What were we saying last week? What's Villa's weakness? Cross. Just cross it into the box. It's going to cause chaos.
Boil it down to real fundamentals. It's because they keep chopping and changing the back line. Yeah. It doesn't help.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the team that beat City and Arsenal that we all, you know, cooed over deservedly because they were brilliant, those two games. That team hasn't played since.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team that ended up, you know, finishing the season so well last year and obviously got into Europe, the theme was that they didn't rotate heavily. Now, I know they didn't have Europe, and it's a different thing. But
all this mix and matching, you lose that momentum, as we were saying earlier on. If you just went into Ajax, battered them, that gives you such a kick up the backside and a confidence boost to go in against Spurs.
Yep.
The tiredness, I don't buy into that because I think there's enough time. It's not a big taxing journey, is it? I mean, if we went into outer Mongolia or somewhere and it was like a nightmare journey, a 16-hour schlep, then fair enough, it might be draining. But this is like in and out, isn't it? It's almost like playing in a domestic away.
Yeah, it's like door to door. It's probably the same as playing at Newcastle by the time you get home. And I said, you know, you were looking for momentum coming out of Ajax going into Spurs, and that would naturally lead you back into the Ajax home tie. Now you're sort of looking further ahead and you're going, is this one of those games that kind of knocks the wind out of your sails?
Well, yeah. I mean, in the league, we're fucked with McGinn going.
In terms of
tenacity, Mings isn't there. Buendia isn't there. These are the players that gave us character at the end of last season. Now we've no McGinn, then this is a soft-ass team. I mean, we got bullied by Spurs. We've got problems.
Yeah.
Ajax, I think we have to win that or else we're in. If we get beat by Ajax, which isn't out of the question, if they do what they did in the home tie in Amsterdam, they could easily go to penalties. Or if they get an early goal, I think we could be in trouble there because that will give them confidence. And I think this Villa team doesn't look like it's going to boss them. I mean, hopefully, that's famous last words.
No, I mean, yeah, there's a concern for me in general games. It doesn't matter whether it's Europe or the league. It seems to be happening more in the league, is that we concede in bursts at the moment. We saw it against sort of Newcastle, Chelsea in the Cup. We saw it against this one. You concede the one, and then the next one comes within 5 minutes. And it means that you can be knocked flat on your ass pretty quickly by the opposition. If opposition starts well and goes bang, bang, with a quick 1-2 punch, you're on the canvas, aren't you? And it's like, Villa don't seem to be able to get up.
The irony is, I mean, Emery, when he was asked about playing the back five, and he said it went well. What was it? What did he actually say?
Yeah, it was, and quote, "We decided to stop them by playing two full-backs wide and defensively low and three centre-backs trying to jump and stop them play," which is essentially saying we're playing a flat five.
Yeah.
"We achieved the objective we had, but the second half changed because they scored two goals." I'm like, well...
well, that means it's failed, you fool. And you've got five defenders, and you're still... I mean, when you say five defenders, you're playing a defensive formation and you're still conceding two, bing, bang, bosh, you know, within of minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the ex-Northern Ireland women's manager, Kenny Shields, he got...
left field to
Well, I mean, you'll see where I'm going with this. He got hauled across the coals for saying that was the problem with the women's game when... It was one goal went in. It was quickly followed by a second and a third. And he said it was a lack of like emotional control. Now, the problem with what he said was he limited that to the women's game. He just says when a team does that, it's a lack of emotional control, because that's exactly what it is. I mean, what do they do? Do they just, you look at if Liverpool concede a goal, if Man City concede a goal, it's like, right, they're a wounded animal now. You better be careful of them. You better watch.
Yeah, you're going to get it.
Yeah, when Villa concede a goal, nothing changes.
It's like the crowd disappeared, like volume wise, just dissipated.
But there's no sort of thought of, right, don't concede another one now, or right, let's get straight back into this. It's like, right, just keep doing exactly what you're doing. And I know that's what Emery's putting into them, but sometimes like the heart has to rule the head. There has to be someone has to take charge.
Well, that was the captain, but he ended up down the tunnel.
Well, I was going to chip in just before we get onto the red, with the fact that Villa have conceded, I saw 14 goals between 45th and 60th minute. That's the highest of any side in the league after half time, do you think? It makes me wonder, are they being given too much information? And they're sort of thinking, right, what's the plan now? What's the plan now? Oh, shit, we've just conceded. What was the plan again? And sometimes you need really simple, just do one thing.
I mean, there's fine margins, isn't there? And the communication thing may be a fine margin, that there'll always be an aura of, you know, this manager. I'm not getting at Emery here, I'm just saying. This is a manager that's won four Europa Leagues and what he did at PSG. It's hard to get players' respect nowadays. You know, they've got all this money that, you know, they don't really give a shit. But Emery was somebody who commanded respect from his previous achievements. But there is always that familiarity. Once that mystique disappears because you've been with him for a year or so, then you might think, oh, you know, I don't like him, and, you know, he's a bit of a whatever. And then you might start not buying, you know, buying into it fully. And that's where we may have problems.
Or sometimes if the message doesn't change, you know, it feels, and we've spoken about this endlessly in recent weeks, where about how Villa have become quite predictable. You know, everything's quite set patterns of play. So for a good tactician on the other side, they can go, well, we kind of know what Villa are going to do at any given time. And then we know what our counter move is, as opposed to there's not very much kind of off the cuff from Villa. Whereas actually when Villa do little things off the cuff, they actually look quite good. You've got guys like Luiz, and I think Bailey can do it. Watkins can, to a certain extent. McGinn. They've got guys who can do it.
Callum Chambers as well.
But it just feels like if...
Yeah. He's done things off the cuff where you go, wow. Yeah.
It just sometimes, even in this game, it felt like the main plan's taken a knock, but we don't trust what the alternative is yet. I don't know, Riz. I think the really top sides, they can change fast, can't they, in game? They can react. And that's why sort of Pep and Klopp and their teams and...
Yeah,
but to a certain extent, Arsenal this season, and like, you know, the famous Man United sides, they can see when something's wrong and it changes in game fast. Villa don't seem to be able to do that yet.
Do you not think it's a case of the players can change without necessarily Pep going and waving his arms and doing this, that, or the other, or Arteta doing the same? It's like, it's not working here, change it. I mean, it's like, it's on. I think there's a change on the pitch. It might get the okay. It's like, right, do it now or something like that from the sideline. But there's a lot of sort of like more ownership in the players. I think Villa's players, there's a lot of them being, they need to be told to breathe in, breathe out sometimes to stay alive. I mean, that's the feeling a little bit from some of them.
Yeah. And I'll use a good example. I read this about Henderson at Ajax, and from previous clubs he'd been at, that he gets a lot of stick from England fans, but apparently all the people who've played with him say he's a fantastic captain because he talks and he coaches his team through the game.
Yeah.
So he knows the tactical plan. He's very, very astute tactically, apparently. So he would have walked those Ajax players through the game, and they held their shape fantastically. You know, it was a frustrating game for Villa because Ajax stuck to their plan, and he, you know, tells them when to press, and he's like a sort of de facto manager on the pitch. And I wonder who that is with Villa. Who's that sort of?
Well, nobody understands McGinn, so there's a problem.
But I think McGinn's more of a kind of leader by example. He's like, just follow my lead.
Well, let's talk about leading by example. What's the latest?
What a caveat.
2-0 down, it was game over. He goes off. It's like, oh shit, might be season over.
Yeah.
Straight red, three tough games. Wolves are on the up. West Ham away, not going to be easy. And they've got players that can bully us like Spurs did. I don't think we're... I mean, I lost a lot of expectations for Villa's season from this game. Because I just thought, you put this Spurs team in the Conference League, they'll win it. I don't know if Villa will now, just because they just look a bit powder puff. You can see Spurs finishing top four. This Villa team, I think there's doubts about that. But
McGinn, yeah,
missing three games is, as we said earlier on, in terms of tenacity, he is one of the main bringers of that, because the two other guys who gave us that in our ID or DNA have been out all season. Yep. I mean, I've seen the replay since, and I've just thought, well, fair enough. You can see why that's given. I'm not going to put my claret and blue goggles on and fight that one. It's like, yeah, what? Well, I thought it was a yellow at the time, but then it's like, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I tweeted afterwards, and I said it in the game at the time, that he got sent off. Clearly, he gets himself sent off. But I think that it came as a result of him having to do basically 10 people's work. I think he was like, somebody, namely me, needs to take this game by the scruff of the neck for my team here. And I think he was just trying too hard, because he'd smashed into someone about a minute beforehand. I think it went for a throw or a goal kick. I can't quite remember.
Yeah, Diaby was like an under 13 player bouncing off players, and
Bailey was having a stinker. And I think Villa's pressing wasn't terrible.
I think he shouted at Diaby, didn't he? Or
shouted at a few of them. And I think he was just getting so fucked off with his team, he thought, someone's going to get it here. And he smashes him, doesn't he?
Yeah,
it's the cliche. You see people talk about Roy Keane, you know, smash into someone. And he nails him.
He plays the margins. He does a lot of stuff that he gets away with. I mean, he's very good at taking it to the level without crossing the lines, because he's not somebody whose career is not littered with red cards.
No.
And the way he plays, you'd imagine it would be. So within how he plays, he's reasonably well controlled. But I think he was getting frustrated. And obviously the result's gone away. And he's probably thinking about what he said in the press.
Yeah.
He said, I'll remind the players how big the game is if they've forgotten about it. And it's like, well, I don't think you did a good job there.
It felt like a game that they all felt the pressure in this one. And there's a bit of, you know, trying too hard and not keeping you cool and all those sorts of things. And it was kind of a red card that you used to see people like Steven Gerrard get sometimes in those big games, where he was just so up for it, he'd fly into someone. That's what happened with McGinn, you know. A lot of people have said, oh, it's a yellow. Well, yeah, clearly it's a foul. It would always be a yellow, but saying, oh, it's never a red. And I'm like, sometimes you see him given, sometimes you don't. But when it's right on the touchline in front of the opposition dugout, and you've got James Maddison, who's been in the ref's ear all game, I just think you're always going to go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say as well, I mean, the reason maybe McGinn was having to do so much runabout was the three changes that Emery made, because while you're 2-0 down, you're taking off Longley, who didn't have a bad game. You're taking off Tielemans, we spoke about, and you're taking off Dean. Three players that can put a tackle in, can put a bit of nastiness in. Yeah. And you're putting on Zaniola, Diaby, and Moreno. There's not a tackle among the three of them. I mean, that's it. Zaniola gets sent off for throwing an arm about or like poking somebody in the eye. But other than that...
And we were getting bullied up to that point, and suddenly you're even weaker, yeah.
Yeah. So McGinn's left as the only person with any sort of backbone there. So you can see why he does that. The only thing I can't see was what did a doggy do on him that he didn't like? I mean, there's plenty of other targets in that Spurs team I would have kicked like that, but not a doggy.
It was weird because he smashes him, doesn't he? And then a doggy looks like he's about to get up and square up to him, and then he decides to go down. Bizarre. Just
going back to Longley, since now he's left the pitch, when we were struggling to play it out earlier on, mainly because Spurs is pressed, but also something a bit nonchalant about Villa's playing it out the back. It wasn't with any real purpose, but there was a great little nutmeg that Longley did.
It was a nice moment, that, actually.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the game from a Villa point of view. Although I think didn't Son nutmeg him later on?
There was a couple, actually. There was a couple of passes, yeah.
Yeah.
Out on the touchline.
But then it's very much damage limitation after that. And
I left. I didn't leave that late, but I knew it was fucking game over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I unfortunately saw Werner's goal because my Tielemann's ass couldn't get off the sofa after Son's goal quick enough to change the channel to get the remote, and that's how quickly the goals came.
4-0.
I mean, it wasn't a 4-0 game to me, but Tottenham were in complete control of that. But they've done it to us before.
It's a 4-0 game when you go down to 10 men and you're 2-0 down already, isn't it? You just know they're going to capitulate. And as Phil said, when you take off your harder hitters in terms of getting stuck in, you just know. And you've had problems already being slapped around a bit. You know, it's going to go one way.
It's pretty damning. That's the first time we've failed to score at home since October 22, and it was Gerrard's last home game against Chelsea.
Yeah.
We always score at home, and that's always been even the Chelsea game, Newcastle, those kind of games. You thought, well, we always make chances. We always get a goal.
Two shots on target, Chris Budd, in the last 180 plus minutes.
And not a big chance in either of them. You know, there's not really any of them where you say, how have we not scored there? The goalie hasn't made a great save, haven't hit the woodwork, we haven't
We're talking
come close.
About Ajax, by the way, as well as the Spurs game.
Whereas you think about the potency we had, especially in the first half at Luton and Forest, Sheffield United, etc. We've, with credit, looked very, very good going forward in the last few weeks. And then Spurs, it was just like, wow.
Yeah, that was the thing that got me, was just by setting up as we did, the way we were going to beat Spurs is the way we've had success is normally in the first half when we're at it and
we attack them.
We take it to them. You know, it's like the old boxing analogy. I think it's Mike Tyson. Everybody comes in to a fight with a plan until they get hit in the face. And that's, teams have been coming to Villa Park. But then we just blow them away in the first half and they have to rethink their plan. But here we walked out with five at the back and you think, oh shit, we're not going for them. And they're going to have an easier day of it. Anyway, stat of the game.
Well, with a few stats we mentioned earlier on, that it's not something that happens to begin off in a red card. In fact, it's its first red card for Villa in his 224th game.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It is. I would have thought he would have been sent off before that, because like you said, he does push the limit. It was also Emery's heaviest home defeat as a manager. It equaled a 5-1 defeat whenever he was Spartak Moscow manager.
Wow. That'll hurt for him.
Yeah. We shouldn't have made those subs then, should he? Might have stayed at 2-0.
Fancy player, Premier League player.
Yeah, well, it's in this current climate, you get an award for taking part, a participation award. So Watkins, Bailey and Louise get 2 points each.
Jeez. Right. Has anybody been as limp as Villa were on the pitch in the media this week? It's time for Media Muppets. Right, what's in the trough this week, Mr. Phil Shaw?
I noticed an alarming amount of Facebook posts from Football Insider about Villa, but then I very suddenly realised that they're all about the same interview that they did with ex-chief Keith Wyness. Well, we'll just go through the headlines in chronological order
Why would you do it? They must have paid him.
I don't know. It's just one of these things. So it starts off, the first one at the start of the week was Aston Villa ready for sensational 200 million plus signing spree. And this goes, the ambition of Edens and Suarez take the breath away. Okay, so you're thinking, right. A day later, Keith Wyness drops Aston Villa plea after big development. It's very disappointing. A 6-point penalty could be next. That doesn't sound good. A day later after that, I've got to say, in an angry emoji, former Aston Villa chief is fuming as he launches scathing attack in the Premier League, saying Aston Villa badly hit by Chiefs, and it's a picture of Edens and Suarez, just to throw you off the scent. And finally it goes with, Aston Villa have got the perfect owners. This allows them to go shopping at a whole new level. Aston Villa fans will love this transfer revealed from a very well-connected executive. And that's it. So four different headlines, four different spins on the same interview with Wyness.
So everything's contradicting each other. So how are they going to, with all this FFP issues, who is this player that they're going to get in?
Oh, I have no idea. It's a spending spree. They're just not, that's just it. Just, that's
just
how
not going to happen.
It's like a war chest. No, it's not going to happen. It's like, I'm still waiting on Alex McLeish's war chest. I think he was promised.
Well, what you've just demonstrated is just a load of clickbait, which from the same conversation that is just spun in different directions, a negative one, a positive one, a negative one, and they all contradict each other.
Yeah.
Right. A big shout out before we disappear to the My Old Man Said members. Thank you for supporting the show as usual, and we will see you in Match Club for the West Ham game. We look forward to seeing you there. Also, we did a post-Ajax debrief on our trip out in Amsterdam as a bonus show. So if you haven't listened to that, that's up there on the exclusive My Old Man Said channel, where you also get ad-free versions of the show. Special thanks this week to, just says S-He. Is that an Asian name? And also N Young. So thank you very much for joining us this week. If you want to become a My Old Man Said member and also get access to Match Club, as well as the extra shows and ad-free shows, then please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the members link. You also help us in terms of fighting for supporter issues. So go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the members membership link there for more details. Also, do subscribe or follow on whatever podcast app you listen to. Sometimes when I post these shows, I just hit the sack if it's late at night and I don't get around to doing the social media. So at least if you are following the show, you will get notifications as soon as it drops and be a step ahead of the game. Right, any final words, gents?
I don't know. I think the sigh speaks for itself, to be honest.
Yeah.
We're in such a good position. It's like we just need to use a Steve Bruce, you've got to dust yourself down from this one, because the games are going to come thick and fast, and they can't feel sorry for themselves like they did in that last half an hour.
I'm talking about what you're thinking here. I'm not talking about cliches. I'm looking at...
What am I thinking?
We could play that Spurs team 10 times, we wouldn't win.
Not like that.
No way. And we're also missing McGinn. Three key games. And it's a level of opposition that's above the three teams that we beat, you know, previously.
Yep.
So these were not gimmies. You wouldn't be expecting to, you know, beat West Ham and Wolves. Who's the other one? Oh, Manchester City.
Man City away.
West Ham, Wolves, Manchester City. You could even, this performance, you'd see three losses there, and that would just fuck the season totally. Man United would be in, and you'd be hanging on. This is could go off a cliff edge. It's that bad. If we get beat by Ajax and then you lose against West Ham, then it's a cliff edge type scenario. I think... Personally, I want to beat Ajax and get into that next round, and at least you've got something tangible to go after. Because if you win that cup, the season has, whatever happens in the league, it's not being a disaster. At this point, far from it. But we may drop, and that's the concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big concern. I think it's all, you're right. It's all in that Ajax game. It's momentum's the key. You need to sort of salvage something.
Because mentally, it's going to break them if they get knocked out by Ajax.
Yeah.
And you haven't got McGinn for your next three games.
Yeah. The Spurs result is one of those ones that can knock the wind out of your sails anyway.
Yeah.
You're thinking, as much as a win against Ajax is important, I really think they need a performance. They need to play well. They need to kind of go, yep, do you know what we are? You know, rather than 45 minutes at Luton or 45 minutes against Forest, do you want to go, do you know what, we were really good there for 90 minutes?
Because, you know, if we play like somebody like Fenerbahce, I can't see us getting through.
Especially
them,
away.
Maybe two legs, yeah.
Especially away.
You'd have to play with conviction, and we haven't done that for like 90 minutes. We did, you know, against teams that we were expecting to beat, we've done it. But here, we didn't really put up a proper fight. We didn't give them something to think about. I think this was easy work for Spurs, to be honest.
They looked fresher. I think Ange said after the game, didn't he, that I think Emery sort of took exception to it, but he said we felt that Villa looked tired. And I do wonder if those extra games, bearing in mind this is a new experience for Villa in recent years, is starting to just catch up. If not physically, there's a certain amount of mental
I just
fatigue.
Didn't think Spurs just look bigger, stronger, faster.
But they look better prepared.
There was a stat that came out that the maximum number of games Spurs can play this season is 41. Today was Villa's 41st game.
Yeah, we're looking for excuses, though. We're quite, you know, we're slightly tired because we had a midweek game when we've played a few more games. We're not going to go anywhere as a club in Europe in the next few seasons if this is how we start crying about little things like this. This is the territory of successful teams. But there's something lacking here. I've got some things I was thinking during the game, but I'll save them for another day. Right, time to go. We've got to save our season against Ajax. Sounds dramatic, but it will have a positive knock-on effect to the league games, hopefully. But the McGinn thing is, it's almost like a double, well, could be worse than a double loss, the McGinn loss, because it's three games.
I mean, one thing with that, what that does mean for Ajax is, I think Ajax might be on the receiving end of a McGinn, shall we say, a heavyweight night on Thursday. Because
well, it's the only football he's going to be playing, isn't he? So he needs to stay in, we need to stay in the tournament.
Scotland will get the best of him, at least.
Well, yeah.
I think McGinn will be bang up for that one.
Right, until Ajax. Hopefully it's not raining.
Oh, that was shit, wasn't it? What a crap day. It rained all the way there. I got drenched on the way to the ground, drenched on the way back, and the game in between was damp.
Well, I managed to have a Sunday roast in town, so that was a saving grace.
Well, I was cooking for Mother's Day.
Well done, you.
Thank you very much.
But it wasn't as good as my Sunday roast.
I made a banging lasagna, I'll have you know.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as my Sunday roast. Right, until the fat lady sings, it's goodbye from me, and it's the fat Tillerman sings, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have you got a number of a good lawyer? We're going to get a defamation case against us. I like Tillerman, so I'm just joking.
I do.
But he needs to be played in the right way to his strengths.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.